Hope you're having a great day, man. We certainly are. And it's been fun today because the uncertainty of still not knowing remains. It's out there. It's just, we're just waiting.
Who is QB1?
We're just waiting, man. No news on Michael Penix. Guy says to me, Mike, about Kevin Stefanski can't know what he has yet. It's impossible. Penix has only had 12 starts for this team.
Right. And 2 years ago, and of course last season.
Last season. And he says Stefanski's been in the building. Mike hasn't been cleared to play. How can he know that he has what he's got? Or what he's got? Does he know? Mm-hmm. It's a fair question. Yeah, he's seen him spin it, but you just turn on the tape. That you know he can make the throws. That's not a question. But it's can he execute what we're trying to do? And we won't know that again until he's fully cleared. But that is the news, guys, as we continue to wait and hopefully hear something. But as I said, I don't think that's going to happen today. It's a regular practice day for the Falcons, and then they'll play their second preseason game tomorrow. You can listen here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game against the Indianapolis Colts. 11 o'clock pregame, 1 o'clock kick, and then they will head back to the A. And, you know, look, you're not out there. I thought Brian McFadden made a good point. This is what I've been saying for years. Mm-hmm. If it didn't matter, don't do it. If it doesn't matter, then just take it off the schedule and let's not do it.
Right.
These preseason games, they matter, but they matter in a different way. And it matters because of the reps. It matters of the work. It's about the work. It's not about the wins or losses. And so you've got to get that in. And BMAC mentioned that, like, hey, that's why you want to see guys perform in that atmosphere before you get to the regular season. And the way things are looking, to your point, as we started the show, because I'm like, well, if he's cleared this weekend, he'll play next Friday. And Mike's like, whoa, because he may not.
Yeah, and that's, you know, what we're all rolling with, man, the idea that, you know, trying to advance a timeline, which, look, and by the way, I said this to you yesterday.
What's that?
Stefanski, they said, Matt Ryan, Ian, they might have known all this from the jump. They were never going to go any sooner than 9 months from the jump. That's what the doctors, the medical staff signed off on. And that's always been, like, I guess, the media, we chase our tails because we're looking for a story. We're trying to figure out who's going to win this job. Because it's kind of important to have a quarterback. And Tua, you know, as we said, we've had discussed everything that he's done that's good and last couple of years, not as good, you know. He's been a guy that I thought, you know, was on the verge of having the Dolphins become a perennial playoff team. And some of this, I think, was his coach. I think his coach will maybe get another chance to be a head coach at some point. He's an assistant now with the Chargers, but it just went off the rails. And now, how does he reinvent? And so you got a chance to impress your fan base. He doesn't give a crap about the fan base, but let's be honest. The first thing you got to see Tua do it, one good. You know, and he misses a snap. And missing a snap is the Cardinals' sin for a quarterback, and then it happened again. Most people didn't see it. We heard about it in the scrimmage. So he's off to a rocky start. That doesn't mean he can't still get it together, talking about Tua, in the next few weeks.
No doubt, man. So more on this coming up, and we will continue to explore some of the things we know and some of the things we don't know. Plus, we'll play a fun game in the 5 o'clock hour. Stay there. Now, let's talk some dogs. Georgia's going to have their second inter-squad scrimmage tomorrow. So hopefully Kirby's going to find out more about his team. But, guys, Kirby was all about soccer last night, and Day-Day mentioned it to you. They break the record for attendance, and congratulations to the Dogs. All the teams were there, and Kirby mentioned that, 25,000 in attendance. But can we hear Kirby talk to the soccer squad about getting ready for this moment?
This is awesome. I'm so pumped for everybody to use this place. Everybody out there is ready to see y'all have success. I just went upstairs and every athlete in the whole department is up there, excited to watch y'all play. We want to see y'all compete and get after it, okay? One special thing about us when we come over and play here. When we come play in this stadium, it's different. And y'all are playing on our grass, okay? So since 2020, we're 34-1. Two ain't happening tonight, okay? Y'all get after that ass. Go.
Yeah, and they did. And look, I told you they all know. They all listen. I don't know what our record is here. We don't worry about that. Really? He knows, and it's important. And so as that message was delivered to the ladies, they delivered, and they went big. And I just
Six-zip.
Yeah, I just thought it was a big moment, man, not only for the soccer program, but I think it shows the unity of Georgia and where they are as an athletic program.
Right. You know, everybody's, you know, rock solid. There's solidarity there. You heard Kirby talk about everybody in all the athletic department is there. So baseball, everybody, you know, football players, basketball, everyone's out there to support the ladies. You brought it up first time since the Olympics in 96. The women have been out there, and soccer at Sanford Stadium. How cool is that?
It's great, man. So You know, again, continued success. I hope that all the programs thrive. We talk about this. It's nice to be good in football. It's expected. But you need to be good in everything else, right? Everything. There's no reason a basketball program should be making runs to the NCAA tournament. Elite Eight, Final Fours, right? The baseball team this year was really damn good. Right. They didn't get
that
it done.
That was a hell of a story, though.
But they got it. You know, they went far. That's what is expected across the board with the athletic program.
Well, the biggest thing is you see Mike White and you see Georgia and you say, okay, you know, where is this going here? Now, look. The Alabama basketball coach, I'm sorry, fans, he had an ethics bypass at birth, okay? He's a little dirty, but they're having results. Bruce Pearl, yeah, he was a little, you know, a little icky on the margins, but he had success at Auburn. Why can't Georgia produce that? Tennessee's always been solid in basketball for decades. You know, and Kentucky's obviously speaks for itself. But
you know, Rick Barnes hadn't won anything, and I told you he wouldn't. Go ahead.
There's always a feeling there's a ceiling with Rick Barnes, right? But anyway, and Mike White, so far, there's a ceiling. You're in the tournament, you get bounced in the first round. And that's got to change too. Take that in another direction.
Yeah, then you want to add something?
Yeah, I was just going to say in regards to Kirby, like that's something we saw a lot of him this year. If you watch a lot of his pressers, anytime any of the other programs were getting ready for some type of moment that could have been monumental for that program, he always kind of opened the presser. He's been doing a lot of opening some of his pressers with acknowledging what's coming to head. So with the soccer attendance thing, this week's presser on Tuesday, I want to say, that's the first thing he kind of opened up with. So he's been doing a lot of that kind of like, you know, like you said, that promotion within, it seems like it's coming from, if you want to say he's the top, it's coming from the top.
That's cool, though. I mean, I'm not sure Alabama fans could tell us if Saban did that or other coaches, high-profile coaches. I remember Bruce Pearl used to support the ladies, famously there with his shirt off.
That's right.
Right over on the plane. So that's kind of cool. But Todd Golden is just a better coach than Mike White. He replaced him at Florida, and you've seen the results. I mean, Nate Oates is just – look, I'm not a fan of Nate Oates, but, I mean, he's the results speak for itself. Why can't Georgia do that?
Yeah, it's a valid point, man. But last night was all about the soccer team and the ladies, and so congratulations. What about the football team, though? Kirby was talking about what he's seeing from the wide receiver room. This is what he said.
You know, receivers don't get to just go out and have success on their own. They have to have a lot of things happen to have the success they want to have. They have to take advantage of opportunities they give, and they have to go against good people in competition. But it's more than just them in order to have a success. But if you said, am I pleased with their work habits and what they're doing? Absolutely, I am. I would say anybody in the room is dominating by any means. There's young players that are coming on fast, and by young, I mean first and second year, and then there's older players who are leading well and doing a tremendous job for us. So very pleased in that room.
Okay. And we were talking about the wide receivers and,
right,
you know, who's going to make those explosive plays. Look, he's saying he's pleased, but a lot goes into these guys having success. Got to block, Falcon fans. You got to have protection, and guys got to get open. I do feel good as we translate this to the Falcons, Mike, about what we're seeing with our receivers, Zachariah, Drake. These guys are getting open. Now, are they going to have time to get him the ball? That's going to be one of the questions we'll have going into the NFL season. But Georgia's dealing with the same thing.
Right. And that video of – I mean, that's the thing. How do you replace a guy? Like, you can't. Zachariah Branch is going to – I think is going to – regardless, if we could finally get the situation straightened out with the quarterback of the Falcons, he is going to be a star in this league. He's got that sort of X factor, and he really does. I mean, he stops on a dime, the moves, faking guys out of their shorts, and then finishing, pow, and taking the DB to the ground. I love it. He should have gotten the ball. Well, he set records. So what? Give the ball even more. You know, let him take a stab at fourth and one. Get him the ball. You know, get it in his hands. But that's the question. How do you replace that kind of playmaking? Will they have it? You touched on earlier, Kirby, talking about the pass rush. Mark Schlabaugh wrote an article yesterday talking about Georgia has a lot of star power on defense, but are they going to get the quarterback? It's kind of funny. The world we lived in last year, Alabama couldn't run the ball and Georgia couldn't sack the quarterback.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy, right?
It's a mixed up world. Kirby, by the way, I'm not saying this, and I don't think Kirby's saying it, but with them being in the preseason poll where they are they flying under the radar? And my answer is no. Everybody knows what Georgia is.
You're top five in the country.
Everybody knows what Georgia is. I don't think they're flying under the radar. What did Kirby have to say about Gunnar Stockton? Because, again, we want to see him grow, and we'll find out more after this inter-squad scrimmage tomorrow to be their second. Here's Kirby.
Yeah, Gunner's improved immensely. I don't think it's in one area. I don't think it's I think it's confidence. I think it's his mental capacity to handle a lot of information at once, process that information, and yet still make good decisions. Confidence in the pocket, his movement skills in the pocket have improved. His awareness of protections have improved. His ability to handle the pressure of the shot clock a nine-word call. The defenses we're throwing at him and getting people lined up has improved. But he's done some good things this camp. You can see his growth kind of in a lot of areas because some of it's leadership, some of it's mentorship, and some of it's just throwing ability and getting the ball downfield. So pleased with Gunner's growth and really pleased with his work ethic.
All right. Hey, look, we know there's an MO or a style of a kind of quarterback that Kirby wants. We talked about it yesterday or earlier in the week with Connor Riley and Mike Griffith. And they're going to ride and die with Gunnar Stockton, right? And how much does Bobo get more out of him? All those things we've talked about, the explosive play, the fearlessness, not being afraid to maybe turn it over by really being a gunslinger.
He can't win the Heisman, can he?
Well, there's metrics and numbers he's going to have to put up. But the only guys who win Heismans are on good football teams. So he's on a good football team. So check that. And then if he goes all the way or certainly plays deep in the season and has some big wow moments, if he puts up a few more stats, let me think about the Tennessee game.
Yeah.
If he had a few more numbers to go with it, those are the kind of moments that win you the Heisman.
Yeah. I'm not saying he can't. It's just, it's a question to me as if I think he's got the team, to Mike's point. I think he's got the ability. Does it matter if they win the national championship and he doesn't? No. But it would be like a little feather in the cap, right, Mike? If you put up those kind of numbers, Georgia has a great year, and then Gunner all of a sudden is in New York for the vote, you know, for the presentation.
Well, if you feel good about it, 20-1 right now in Vegas on Gunner Stockton.
Okay, I'll take that.
Anywhere from 17.5, yeah, 17, yeah, plus 2,000 is 20-1. Dante Moore is 11-1. Arch Manning is 7.5-1. CJ Carr, Notre Dame always gets the love, also 7 to 7.5-1.
They're good though. I mean, like right. CJ Carr is going
to
be.
Look, by the way, Julian Sain also 11-1. Darian Mensah down in Miami 11-1.
Dante Moore's top, right?
Yeah, Dante Moore and the best odds though is Arch Manning and CJ Carr right now.
Oh, okay. And look, the Arch thing is if they breeze through their schedule and he puts up monster numbers with Cam, the wide receiving core he has now is so much better than he had last year. That's very plausible. But I just think the Gunner thing is interesting. And again, I know dog fans. Big picture is. Let's win another natty, right? That's what we care about. But it would be nice to see him get that kind of recognition if he has that kind of season.
By the way, CJ Carr, Arch Manning, Dante Moore, Darian Mensah, Julian Sain, Trinidad Chambliss, Jeremiah Smith. Oh, Jeremiah Smith's a wide receiver. So it's all quarterbacks to win the Heisman, basically.
Oh, the Ohio State wide receiver.
Yeah.
And again, some people say he's the best player in the country.
Big time. And the Jerry Rice adage. I mean, he is that athlete. He is that dude. Josh Hoover from Indiana. He's down there with Gunner. Keelan Russell. If Keelan wins the job in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then there's a Drew Mestermaker over at Oklahoma State.
Okay. And Hoover, if he throws the ball like Mendoza did, and I'm sure they're going to give him that opportunity, Mike, we know they can put up numbers.
All right, one more time. Trinidad Chambliss, Julian Sain, Darian Mensah, Arch Manning, CJ Carr. You had any feelings about a Falcon quarterback for next year? I mean, those, now again, so right now, there's your list. Who's going to have the season where, because if Drew Aller comes out a year earlier, he's in the top 15. Mm-hmm. Drew Aller, obviously, he gets hurt, Penn State implodes, and then he winds up going later to the Steelers.
Yeah.
But you never know.
No, and that's the thing.
But the perception is it's a quarterback draft
it
for
is.
Next year.
No, it's as good as it's ever been. And then you're leaving out Lenore Sellers, and there's right. a bunch of other guys.
I love his game.
Yeah, man.
Over you, around you, through you.
Brandon okay. Sorsby, Mike, will right. be in this draft because of what happened with him. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of guys. But, man, we just got to figure what we got out. What do we have? And let's figure that out before we start thinking about that. Hey, man, coming up, Mike, what do we have in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this. A heartbreaking loss in Williamsport in the Little League World Series. We'll tell you about this and a rule that a lot of people say, can't you change it for the World Series? We'll explain. And folks at Vacation down on the Panhandle, you're not going to like this. A landmark is gone. We'll explain. Hey, man, saw some sad news today. I mean, sad to some, maybe not to others. You ever been down to Panama City? Many of our audience, whether in college trips or family trips in the Panhandle, you got to get some towels or a T-shirt, Carl. You got to get some sunscreen. You go to Jaws Souvenir Shop in Panama City, the giant shark. A lot of folks will take the picture with the family from the giant shark's mouth as you walk in the front door.
Yeah.
Burned down.
Oh,
yeah. Brutal. Apparently, fire this morning, ending decades as a Panama City Beach landmark. As I said, I know I've got a picture back in the day in front of all that, but residents and visitors shared fond memories today on Facebook and other sites about it, but it's gone. So I text Sporty Spice, Sandra Golden. Figure Sandra, you know, be sentimental about it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that eyesore is finally gone? Wow. Like, really? I hit back. I go, well, so much for your sentimentality there, Sporty Spice. And Sandy hits me back. Locals hated that place from 40 years ago. Sorry. Rest in peace of shark souvenirs. Well, anyway.
Wow.
So there's both people apparently that are not too unhappy, Carl, to see it go. But I love kitschy stuff like that.
Two things can be true.
No, they cannot. Carl has forbade that on the show,
so,
did it?
I think both things are true.
No. Now, again, I'm not living in Panama City, just visiting. I always thought it was funny to get a picture in front of the giant shark. And Carl has forbade that phrase. It is no longer viable on this program.
I think both things are true.
No, it's not.
But you know what? To your point, the folks that do not go down there a lot. It's a tourist trap kind of thing.
Yeah,
if you have a place down there, you go down every year, you go four times a year, yes, right. You wanted it out of there.
That's south of the border. You guys travel 95 south, and it's still there.
Well, before Buc-ee's, and to Day-Day's point, if you haven't made that trip or if you're a younger listener, that was the first mega gas station that was like, just let's sell junk to tourists and make a fortune. And you'd be driving down through Virginia into North Carolina, and it would be X amount of miles to south of the border. And you finally get there, and it's a glorified truck stop. Yep. But that was kind of like the precursor to Buc-ee's and all the mega gas stations now.
Yeah, no, look, Buc-ee's was in Texas for years before it made this expansion into the other southern states. But to your point about that, those stops become habit for people who do these trips every year. Right. And I think, that's the part. But to Sandra's point, if you got a spot down there, it's like, oh, thank God.
So again, so much for sentimental Sandra and her time in her childhood in Panama City. But anyway, yeah, we're just talking about the landmarks. This is an early edition of Guy Talk because Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, is going to join us in Falcon Report at 5. Talking about, is there any news breaking? Not yet. On Michael Penix Jr. and when he gets the A-OK and why people think Carl and I are bullying him. Because we're getting mad at a guy for listening to doctor's orders.
That's what he's doing. He's listening.
Correct. Stay tuned to that. No, by the way, real quick, go around the room. Favorite sort of goofy landmark? The Big Chicken? The Big Chicken in Marietta?
Here in town?
Yeah, or anywhere in your travel.
I mean, for me growing up, it was the south of the border. Because we used to drive from Connecticut to South Carolina every summer. Like all my grandparents were in South Carolina, and we were all living in Connecticut and Jersey. So all the grandkids would basically get piled up into a station wagon and driven down to South Carolina. So yeah, for me growing up, it was south of the border.
And those are fun stops as kids, man.
Yeah.
You can get lost. It's like a mall. You know what I mean? You go up in there.
Peaching Gaffney, South Carolina.
There you go. They used that in House of Cards.
Good call.
Remember that? That was supposed to be Kevin Spacey's district as a congressman.
That's right.
And it's sort of shaped like a butt. But I passed that a million. That stretch of traffic was they finally fixed those rows up near Cowpens.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Last time I went. Now the traffic's by north of Commerce. You know? It's
because it used to be potholes and all kinds of stuff.
And it'd be literally barely enough for an 18-wheeler and your car, with the concrete barriers.
You're I'll let them pass.
Yeah, it's like friggin' Death Race 2000 going up 85 all those years. For Falcon fans going to Panthers games or whatever. No, but I was thinking the Big Chicken, the Big Peanut, that down in Tifton, whenever I'm driving to Florida.
Tifton.
Yeah, and Becky's already down in Florida. I'm like, oh, I just passed the Big Peanut, which means, I'm 4.5 hours out. But anyway, so there you go.
Those
so
landmarks,
rest in peace to some, the Jaws souvenir shark.
So they won't rebuild?
Well, we'll find out. See what kind of insurance they had. And if this was some form of lightning. Wink, wink. Hey, man, I don't know if you guys saw this story. But in Little League, and if you play Little League or you coach Little League, and we've got so many folks involved in youth sports here in Metro Atlanta. We've got some of the best youth baseball systems in Cobb County and Lawrenceville. I mean, all over the metro area. But Little League World Series, pretty simple rule. 6 innings. That's all you can pitch in a week. 6 innings.
Okay.
Right, Daddy? It's 6 innings a week. I mean, at least it used to be. Well, there was whatever the rule is for the Little League World Series. Reason I'm talking about this is you've got a young lady, and this was a young lady that was doing an amazing job for the Alabama team in the Southeast region named Kinley Rasmus. And she's related, by the way, to the Rasmus who played in the big leagues. More on that in a minute. But she was being compared to Monet Davis. Remember that amazing story a couple years back in 2014?
Yeah.
Girl was just, absolutely dealing. Well, if you didn't follow the story, Kinley Rasmus of the Alabama squad is just basically mowing them down. She's got an unbelievable effort going all the way through. She's shutting this team out. She's literally throwing a gem. And then the 6-inning rule comes out. She dominates, but the pitch count rule forces her out. So now she can't pitch into the 7th. Another pitcher comes in. They lose the game.
Oh.
After she absolutely just completely shuts them down.
They're going to change the rule?
Well, I mean, could you perhaps change it. I mean, 85 pitches, I think, is the rule. I want to say it was 100 pitches when I was a kid. Maybe they've changed it. It was 100 pitches in a week.
Yeah, because they're trying not to throw your arm out.
Right, that was the whole idea. Now kids are having Tommy John in junior high school. But yeah, social media erupted with that, just crazy. You know, I mean, you know, the kid's got something going. Why can't you let her go a little bit further? But that rules are rules. So Alabama does not advance, at least in this game, because they have to take her out of the game.
Well, that's brutal. I mean, honestly, leave her out there.
Yeah, that's just, I saw that. I was like, oh, man, that's terrible. Hey, man, we got a big race coming up this weekend. And I was kind of monkeying around with the idea, speaking of road trips and landmarks, of driving up to my in-laws in PA. It's about a 2-hour drive to D.C. from there to go see this big race, this Freedom 250 IndyCar race is happening this weekend in our nation's capital.
Okay.
They've got basically a 1.7-mile circuit. It's going to go down one side of the mall, down the other. It'll be on Pennsylvania Avenue. That's where they're going to have the pits. It looks amazing. Now, I don't know how great it's going to look on TV, because this basically, it's almost like a trapezoid-shaped track, but it's almost like a square. But they're going to be zipping up and down in front of the Washington Monument. You see the Capitol in the background. It's going to be pretty amazing. I went online yesterday to get tickets. You can't get tickets. They had limited amount that were given out to residents, and
is that for security?
Some of these were free.
Oh,
they put a kibosh, I guess, on resale. You can't find it on Ticketmaster. You can't find it anywhere. I looked everything, StubHub, even went on Craigslist. I know you were laughing earlier. I looked up on Craigslist. I go, Freedom 250 tickets, and the guy's like, got a ticket looking for a female IndyCar fan. Okay, you frigging creep. Day Day, it said looking for 18 to 20 year old IndyCar fan in Metro DC area. It's like, ugh. So I guess
he'll find her too.
Yeah, yeah. Put the lotion in the basket.
He'll find
her. I'll meet you by Farragut. No, no, no.
Yeah.
You know, my name is James Gum, big IndyCar fan. I'm a little dubious at Craigslist for a number of reasons.
Well, there was a time. Yeah. I don't know about now, but it was you could almost get anything on there.
Right. But anyway, that's going to be going on.
I heard.
1 o'clock. Yes, there's. Yes, you can find those sorts of services on Craigslist.
Really?
Please, Mitch. But yeah, so that's going to be 1 o'clock Saturday. Braves obviously on in Milwaukee this weekend, but. PGA also, you've got the BMW as we're getting the field down to 30.
Yeah.
For the Tour Championship.
Yep, next week, right?
Yep, you and I will be up there. I think Andy Rand, you'll be there with us at Eastlake on Thursday and Friday. But anyway, this weekend, it's the Freedom 250. IndyCar is actually getting a big resurgence. The ratings have been through the roof. I went last, this Indy 500 Memorial Day, the closest finish in Indy 500 history. So there's some good things. I know NASCAR is you know, Bo and Mike in the morning, but you guys, kick the tires on IndyCar when you get a chance. Over at in Birmingham, you have the Barber Motorsports Park. It's fantastic. There's a Buc-ee's. That's the Buc-ee's exit, by the way, on the way to Birmingham. speaking of landmarks, but I just think a lot of guys, if you take the Pepsi Challenge with IndyCar, I think you're really going to dig it, man. It is really cool, and it's going to be pretty neat. I'll see how it looks in the nation's capital. It's whatever the laps are from 1.7 miles gets you to 250. That's
okay.
The race this weekend.
Oh, so it's 250. Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
There you
gotcha.
Go. Okay. Hey, man, you and I were talking about this. I think we mentioned it briefly earlier in the week. I know that not everybody has HBO. We always get those angry texts. I ain't rich like you and Dukes. But, well, HBO Max is like 10 bucks. Lanterns is great.
Okay.
You and I were just talking about this. How come DC Comics can never make movies right, but HBO gets a hold of The Watchmen or The Penguin,
yep,
or in this case, the Green Lantern franchise? And it's freaking great. Only one episode has dropped, but Day-Day, you liked it too, man. It's pretty amazing.
I liked it too. And ironically, to your point, I was literally saying this to Dylan yesterday in the bullpen, because this is under James Gunn's umbrella of the DCEU. And it's like, to your point, Lanterns so far, first episode, great, but Supergirl, Superman, you know what I mean? So, and those are all under the James Gunn umbrella. So I'm very interested to see if the show continues to be as good as the first episode.
Well, the flip side about it is, like, Marvel does amazing with these movies, and the TV shows kind of leave a lot to be desired. They're not, you know, Wonder Man was great, but you have more misses than hits with the TV shows. So it's kind of flipping you go on the Marvel side of things, which is odd.
Hmm. Yeah, because I've always felt like, you know, the Marvel, we always joke around, they did literally the perfect sequence with the Avengers. And how do you get that kind of juice, because, you know, the end game and the way everything worked out perfectly, the storylines, how they all came together. But Spider-Man just blew doors. So But that's better stories, better likable characters. I thought I read the reviews. There was one in Vanity Fair about Supergirl. They're just saying why do you always have to deconstruct everything and make everything so negative and we want escapism and heroes.
I felt like he tried to make it too much like Guardians from a comedic standpoint.
Yeah,
I think the issue the DC world has had is Marvel took their time with that first phase.
Right.
Nothing was rushed.
That was 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, they spent the money and got the quality directors and actors to fill
DC kind of like saw, oh, wait. And then I felt like they tried to play catch up. And it's like, you don't have to. Like, we enjoy the comic movies. Take your time.
Yeah.
We'll go and watch.
Hey, real quick, further proof that runners are just awful people, Carl. Two Americans getting booed in the streets of Venice for running around again. Because you have to get your run in when you're on vacation in Venice, right? You can't take a day off. A guy with perfect six-pack abs noticed, Carl, as he's running around Venice, that people are hissing, booing, and going, shaking their head at him. You can't run around without a shirt on in the city of Venice. There's an article in the New York Post that dropped today.
Put your shirt on.
Again, Julia Latoff. And her boyfriend, an endurance athlete, Mike Naccarella, decided, again, just take it. You're on vacation in Venice. Take a freaking day off. So apparently that's a big no-no. And running while you're traveling, and everybody in Venice is like, I want put the shirt on. What are you doing? What's wrong with you, stoon on?
But there are a lot of folks, even that live in our wonderful city, that when you travel, you want to
get your run in.
Yeah, you want to get it in, man. And what better way to be in a beautiful city like Venice, Mike, and get your run in?
They began their ill-fated run around 7 a.m. We had also run in Florence earlier in the week, and we saw other shirtless runners, so we didn't think anything was wrong. Not in Venice, baby. An older Italian man shouted at him, "This isn't a beach!" So lesson learned for all you narcissistic runners. You cannot run with your shirt off in the streets of Venice. Thank you. There is Guy Talk on a Friday.
Hey, man, great stuff. You were talking about these landmarks.
Right.
Lee Wright hits me up and says, I can tell you about a spaceship house on Signal Mountain in Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
It's a wacky landmark. Not familiar with that.
We were driving back from Amelia Island a couple years back, and there was a jam up on 95, so Waze took us in the back roads.
Yeah.
And we went to this little town in Georgia. And they have a Statue of Liberty. It's about, I guess, 25 feet tall. They have a small version. I forget the name of the town, McRae or something. And Becky looked it up, and it's been there forever.
Interesting.
The little landmarks. There you go.
You come across stuff like that, man, when you're traveling sometimes. Hey, man, coming up, Steve Coonan's going to join us. Also, the latest on the Falcons as they continue to prepare for preseason game number 2 tomorrow here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk to Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, as we count down. Believe it or not, as we get into September, guys, camp is going to be right around the corner for the Hawks in the NBA. Steve Coonan, how are you doing today?
Doing terrific. How are you guys?
We're good, man. Trying to figure out what's going on with the Falcons, and they're up there in Indy getting ready for their second preseason game. We got college football looming. I mean, high school football tonight, first real big Friday night across the state. So there's a lot going on. I want to ask you and start with these ownership shakeups around the NBA. We just saw the Lakers get sold again. It feels like, and I think in Minnesota they have an ownership shakeup as well, it feels like flipping houses right now, right? And you feel like most of these owners get into this for the long haul. And then ultimately, 25, 30 years later, they sell the team. What do you make of this this shakeup of what's going on around the NBA with ownership?
I think they're both the Lakers and the Timberwolves are anomalies. Obviously, the gentleman who, Mark Walters, who is selling the Lakers, seems to have some urgency in doing that.
Indeed.
That
IRS.
Was created, but I think the premise that people are flipping teams is a little exaggerated. I was listening. I'm a big fan of Bill Simmons, and when I wasn't listening to you guys today, I was listening to him and talking about the role of private equity in sports and just the ignorance, candidly, which doesn't prevent people from talking about it, was stunning to me. Private equity is a group of investors who raise money and they look for a portfolio of investments that they believe will gain value over time.
Right.
And sports has a very strong track record of doing just that for an entire litany of reasons, from scarcity to popularity to it's the only live thing on television anymore. and I could go on and on and on. But I think both of these things, and I don't really know much about the Timberwolves because I've been really busy today and haven't seen much, that might have been pre-negotiated when they bought the team years ago, from what I briefly have heard.
Right. Steve Cooney with us, guys, CEO of the Hawks. The one thing, I mean, we were a little worried a couple of years ago when private equity starts monkeying around with college sports because, you know, what happens when they become the biggest voice in the room? And, I mean, although maybe in some cases it would attract more accountability and you might move on from a dysfunctional coach or an athletic director. But it's still good for the fans, though, right? Because at the end of the day, they see this as an investment they can't lose.
Either.
Right.
I think college sports is a wild, wild west now. I mean, I think it's far different. We in the NBA are allowed to have private equity. I think they can own up to 20% of a team. We actually have private equity at the partner at the Hawks who does not own that. You never heard of them. You never will. They don't go to owner meetings. They don't participate in any decisions. They're an investor that holds, you know, equity in the team and has done well as the team has appreciated over time. But like I said, what I'm hearing in the misinformation and the boogeyman that's trying to be created as a narrative, I have not seen in the league, and neither have any of the other people that I've talked to.
Let's compliment the Hawks here, because Sam Quinn, who writes about the NBA and has for a very long time, put out his best front offices and ranked them. And we are in these rankings. And this is the criteria, Steve, and I just want to lay this out because I think he's on to something here. Having a coherent plan. Creativity, malleability, meaning obviously, you know, you can, the best front offices, as he says, are the ones that win consistently, but can also build in a variety of ways. He talks about being self-aware. The organization is aligned. And he says the owner is willing to spend. He has us as one of the tops. Obviously, New York, they just won the championship. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City's in here. He talks about the Celtics with their moves recently. The Spurs, obviously. It totally makes sense. He puts the Jazz in there with Danny Ainge and what they've been able to do here recently and how they're building. The Pacers. Do you think we're all of those things? Because as I look at our front office and, you know, I'm going, okay, I think we have a coherent plan. I do think that Antti has been creative, and everybody does seem to be aligned.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a perfect description of who we are, down from Tony Ressler, who, by the way, his family is into this business for the next several decades. I think we're very aligned. Did we make the list? I hadn't heard about
yes,
this.
Yes, yes. We are, ranking-wise, I think we're right outside the top 10, but we are on the list of NBA front office rankings, and we're not in the worst front office rankings. That's what I'm telling you.
Thank God for that. Do you think we can sue them because we're not in the top 10?
So it's just, you know, again, like the Heat are in here. Pat Riley's done it for years, and you argue, like today, we just talked about Klay Thompson. I guess he's going to go to the Miami
Mavs
Heat.
Mavs bought him out, Steve, so yeah, he's going to sign to work with Bam and the Greek Freak down there.
Yeah, I mean, good for them. I like that move.
All right. It's just more trouble for the Hawks because the East just keeps adding pieces, albeit a veteran.
How old's that veteran?
Well, Steve says Klay is washed, Carl.
See, this is why I love you, Mike.
CEO,
you're a translator.
Hawks CEO says Klay washed to South Florida fans.
There's going to be some aggregator. I, by the way, 92.9 writes crap like that, so don't do that, please.
But yeah.
Steve says he'd like to wash with Klay dishes. And pottery.
All right.
No, man, I think the point I'm making is this is the recognition that I think we've been looking for, right? Again, I don't want to be on a list of worst front offices, even if it's perception, and you're battling that. I do think we are making a lot of good moves and certainly setting ourselves up for the future.
I am so aligned with this. I think the world of what Antti and Quinn and the group that works with them, I was over there this morning, what they're doing is they are honest in their assessment. You always have to understand where your team is in the hierarchy. And if you look at some teams have made moves that are going to hurt them for the future and kill their flexibility. Some teams like us have put together pieces of a puzzle, knowing there's still more pieces that need to be added, but you have the assets and the flexibility to go do that. And I think that's what they're talking about. when you look at that, when you see the Knicks brought in OG Anunoby, you look that they brought in Jalen Brunson, you look that they brought in Karl Anthony Towns, those pieces have been done in the last 3 to 4 years. So nobody does this overnight, but you have to fit those pieces of the puzzle. And the way you do that is have an honest assessment of your talent, your needs, the way you play, the people that comprise the team. And I think those are the elements that you were just talking about. And I think it's very richly deserved by Anse and his group to be on that list, as they should be.
Right. And as Anse told us, he didn't think, you know, they were one player away. I know we talked about a lot of big names that were out there, the Jaylen Brown thing. There was we weren't ready for that. I mean, at some point, I guess the question will be, when will we, I guess we'll know, Stephen, we're perennially one of the top three teams in the Eastern Conference, and that's when Tony Ressler gets us into one of these luxury aprons and we start spending a little bit more? Unless we can do it.
Tony doesn't control this.
We do it organically, and the rookies and all the guys we brought in have success. Yes. And then you augment that with an established star.
Exactly. And again, this isn't, in our world, it's not a Tony decision. It's an Anse decision. He has the green light today. But if you're a general manager, we love our fans, we love you guys, but there's complexity in this business with second apron. Look at what you saw so many teams do to create more flexibility. And you can't just go into the tax like you could in the 90s and the early 2000s, because there's ramifications and blocks now that allow you not to execute some of your strategies. So it's not about spending money, Michael, as we've talked about 7,000 to 8,000 times.
No, and I get it. Kroenke's getting killed in Denver. They just traded their fourth best player because he's too cheap to be in the luxury tax. I get it.
Nah, that's not fair.
Well, I mean, look, I'm just saying. I know we're not there yet. It's a work in progress.
It's not fair to Denver. I'm just saying to you.
Right.
You know, I don't know the case behind Peyton Watson is the one you're referring to.
Correct. Yes. That's right.
Correct. But I'm going to call Stan when we hang up, and if I find out anything, I'm going to buzz you right back.
Okay.
Hey, did you?
Denver's tax bill, by the way, $33 million right now.
Yeah. And look, Phoenix is a prime example of this. When they signed all those guys and it didn't work, and then they had to figure out how to move on. Did you have a relationship with Don Nelson, who just recently passed away?
I know his son, Donnie,
through
friends in Dallas. But no, I did not know Don. He was successful at every single thing he did in professional basketball. Pretty amazing guy.
Yeah,
did you know him?
I did. In covering the NBA, he was always fun. And then, you know, like Steven Jackson, I know, and Steven played for him. And he was like, dude, Don Nelson was just, he was a character. And it's the guys like that, Steve, that I think we forget about. That, you know, would have a beer at practice, right? I mean, like, he was that guy who was loose with his teams. But I was more fascinated after he passed away, and I think it's the forgotten thing, is how good he was as a player with the Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Championship player.
Yes.
Championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the young listeners probably don't know who we're talking about, but he was, not everybody on every team is a star. In fact, we've learned a lot of times when there's too many, it doesn't work. But Don Nelson filled the role and was an incredible teammate and made the Boston Celtics teams he were on win championships. And he was a key piece and a hell of a coach, and ended up being a pot farmer in Hawaii. So
that's right.
Life ain't bad.
Right, that's right.
And for those who didn't watch that Celtics series that I think Bill Simmons produced, Don Nelson hits that amazing shot in 69.
That's right.
Bill Russell, player coach. I mean, just some amazing stuff with Don's history. And as you said, all those guys, Steve, like the Doug Moe's of the world, Kevin Lockery, who was here in Atlanta, there's Fratello. You know, those just good guys back in the day.
Absolutely. And there's great guys still today in the NBA at all levels.
Steve Koonin, appreciate you joining us. What's your plans for the weekend, man? What you got going on?
Low-key weekend, a little dinner tonight with a couple of customers for the team. Mm. And then Falcons at 1 o'clock tomorrow. See how that's going, even though you can't judge anything by preseason. But not much. Gearing up for football.
Yeah.
You know, working on my wardrobe to make sure that I show the proper colors.
Okay. Well, it's right around the corner. Dogs will be playing here before you know it. We'll be in the midst of college football and the NFL. Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO, thank you again.
All right, guys. Be well.
Cool. Good stuff. He didn't like that luxury tax thing.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, I get it. I mean, it's just, you know. I mean, eventually
Michael,
we'll
that's
be
not
there.
Fair.
No, no. I mean, he doesn't. He He says that, you know, eventually we will. You when the time is right, we will put the chips in the middle of the table.
Yeah, and you've questioned him on this.
Yeah, because it drives me crazy when billionaires don't want to get, oh, my God, for $30 million, you got more money than Davy Crockett? Who gives a crap? Just spend the money. Now, again, there are limitations. You can't do what the Ballmer did with the Clippers more ways than one.
Right, right.
But, I mean, there are limitations because the tax, and to Steve's point, they start taking pieces away from your draft picks, and there's all sorts of penalties if you're continually doing this. But, you know, it's some point you just want to see us put, you know, prime that pump and put all the gusto in the middle of the table. Let's go do something here.
All right, guys.
That's just me.
No, it's fair, man. I mean, like, are we there yet, though? That's the question.
Look, I get it. I mean, Jaylen Brown would have been a hell of a story for us, but without a front court, what does it matter?
Yeah. All right. What is Coach's plan for tomorrow? Also, how is he evaluating these practices? We're going to let you hear that from Kevin Stefanski.
And I don't like the way the video gets manipulated by some teams to make some guys look like real stooges.
Oh, you mean Tua?
No, another guy.
Oh, we'll stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.